going here. Lots to cover here. And we've got a few messages here left. There might be one more out of this. We'll do one here, one the next service, and probably one more maybe on Wednesday to finish this out on Exodus chapter 32. So much in the life of the Israelites to really preach about, going through the wilderness and everything that God did in their lives. So much there, because there was so much rebellion there. And remember, Paul said they were written for our admonition, for us to understand, written for that great truth, for us to take hold of and to understand that, hey, you know, you're going through some things and you've done some things, and how rebellious we are to the Lord. And God just has a lot here. And hopefully I preached loud enough for everybody to hear it out in the hall too. But let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. We thank you that we can be here. We pray, dear God, that you'd bless this time that we have together in the Word of God. And Lord, we thank you for a place to meet, and we thank you, Lord, that you're still on the throne in heaven and taking care of us and meeting all of our needs. And Lord, I pray that you'd pour out your Spirit upon this today and give a blessing, give us understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel thy servants, to whom thou swearest to thine own by thine own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides. On the one side and on the other were they written, and the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people, as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. Interesting, isn't it? And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh into the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief, for they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me, then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. And Moses stood in the gate of the camp, well, we'll get to that the next hour here probably. But these first 25 verses, verse number 20, and when Moses saw the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. And we'll talk about that a little bit too. Listen to this quote. And they arose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. Terrible travesty was this. Those offerings which spoke of the devotedness of Christ unto the Father and the fellowship which He has made possible between a holy God and His people were now presented to this fetish of their own corrupt imaginations. It is significant to mark the absence of any sin offering. They made no sin offering. Think about that. But that had no place in their thoughts. How could it? Remember this, when there is a departure from God, the conscience becomes calloused. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. That is why the unscriptural and Christ-dishonoring performances in the churches occasion no uneasiness to those engaged in them. They were fine with it. They didn't realize what they'd been involved with. As we look at all these verses that we just touched upon here, I'll not go through them. They're in the other sermons. But to say the least, that Moses was up with God 40 days. Just before then, we understand that God had met with the 70 elders. They came up to the mountain. They all ate together. They ate and drank with God. They sat at fellowship with God Himself. They saw God. They saw underneath God. They saw His feet. And what was underneath His feet, they sat there with Him in fellowship with God. It wasn't but a little while after that they walked right down that mountain. They went into the camp, and sin came about right after that. When Moses was gone for a few days and up in the mountains with the Lord, with Joshua, all of a sudden, chaos takes place in the camp. Idolatry takes place in the camp. So they said, we don't know where Moses went. Moses is gone. This man Moses, they called him. Moses was the man that God used to deliver them out of Egypt. Moses was the man that brought them the truth. Moses was the man that performed miracles by the power of God right in front of them and delivered them from the bondage of Egypt and the Pharaoh. Moses was the one that crossed the Red Sea with them, and the sea parted and they walked across on dry land. And Moses was the one that lowered the staff and all of the waters flushed out like flushing the toilet, the Pharaoh and his men. Maybe not Pharaoh, but all of his men. All of these things took place with Moses, the man of God. They saw the miracles. They drank from the rock. They had food given for them. They had manna from heaven given to them. They wanted really for nothing but their own sinfulness. So now we come to the law being brought down to the people of Israel. Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hands. The tables were written on both their sides. On the one side and on the other they were written, and the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. Moses, the man of God, brings the law down to them. Where is this man Moses? Well, they're going to see him because he's walking down the mountain. You know, it's kind of like when your mom says your father's going to be home pretty soon, you know, and you try to take care of things as a mother probably tries to take care of things right away. But you know what? There is a payday someday. Amen. That does come. And payday was coming. God said, go get thee down to these people. And what did he take with him? He took the law down with him. He had the law in both of his hands, and he had the two tables of the law with him, written with the finger of God. You think about that. Just as they had rose up to play and went a-whoring after other gods and made them gods, the law of the Lord comes straight to them through the man that they had abandoned in truth and faith. That very man that they had abandoned walks into the camp with that. They cared nothing for the man who had and would continue to intercede on their behalf. See, little do they know that in the mountains, Moses was up in those mountains, and what was he doing? Moses was interceding for them because God was going to kill them all. The very man that they abandoned and didn't want anything to do with, God, he was interceding for them and trying to help them and save them from God destroying all of them. So that man comes down into the camp then. We are warned by the Apostle Paul that these fell and that their lessons were written for our admonition. The apostle tells us to flee youthful lust. And John said, my little children, keep yourselves from idols. Talking to the saved, not the lost. Understand that? We sometimes forget how many idols we actually set up in our lives. An idol is anything that you put before God. Anything that becomes more important to God or to you than God is. That can be anything. It can be your wife. It can be your children. And many times it is children. I have seen that many times where people will sacrifice truth for their children to make their children happy. Adam did it to Eve. We'll get into that and I'll show you that today. When man departs from the true and living God, he will immediately find a false idol to worship. As soon as God is out of his mind and out of his thoughts, a false idol is reared up for him to worship right away. Or a false god. We see that God, the author of the law, and his lawman comes down from the mount after being with God. I don't know if you understand. I mean, here he is up with the holy God up on the mountain. And he's coming down. It's like, I'll give you an example. It's like going from heaven to hell. Just like that. Because that's what was going on. He was up in heaven, and he walked straight into hell. That's also a picture of Jesus Christ, by the way. Because Jesus left heaven to come here to this earth to suffer and be among us. Moses was such a type of Christ in so many ways. People don't understand the absolute love that Moses had. Moses loved those people more than they could ever understand. And that's why it took him dying and years later for them to actually revere him as the man that he really was. Because he was treated so poorly by those people. If it wasn't for Moses, God would have wiped them out at least 10 times. And you read all through the scriptures. I was reading it to Brother Russ for one of his bedtime stories the other day, and every time it would say, God said, let my anger get out of my way and let me just destroy these people. Let me just burn them up and destroy all of them. I'll make of thee a great nation. Let me just destroy. I want to kill them all. I just want to kill them. I want them all out of here. Exodus 32, verse number 17. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is noise of war in the camp. Joshua thought there was a war there. He thought that the people were being overtaken. He thought the enemies of God, maybe Amalek had come back, and they came back and they were taking out the Israelites. There was murder going on. Why? Well, one good reason, it's the music they were playing. The music that they were playing sounded like there was war in the camp. You ever watch those movies? You ever watch some old Indian movies where you hear the war drums beating? You ever seen that before and listen to that and the dancing that they do and the chants that they do and the way that they, you know, some people think, oh, that can't be real. No, that is real. That's the way they act. And what is that? There are such things as the war cries and the war drums and all of those things. And that's exactly, but those sounds that they played were nothing more than pagan rituals. That's what they were doing. These Israelites were worshiping a false god, a golden calf. They were worshiping that spirit of Nimrod, that spirit of Osiris, that false spirit, that antichrist spirit, is exactly what they were doing in that camp. And Joshua thought that because of the sounds of what was going on, that, man, they must be tormented. Well, if you've ever seen an average dance floor and how people act in the world when they go out dancing and the sensuality and the wickedness of it and bands and everything else, you will see, if you step back and just look at that, it literally looks like they're demonic. It does look like that. It gives the impression of that, man, there's something going on there. It ain't normal, whatever it is. And it's not normal. It's not biblical. None of that is. It's not the way that God's people ought to live. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery. They're not being taken over. Neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome. But the noise of them that sing do I hear. They were singing to a false god. Joshua heard the acts that were going on in the assembly. Now understand that he heard those drums beating. And he thought it was a war. I wonder, as Christ looks down on churches today, and they have their rock bands, and they're dancing, and they're swaying their arms, and the beat is everything, and they're rocking out to those beats. I wonder, as Christ looks down on that, if it reminds him of the Israelites and the golden calf and the molten calf there and the music that was playing and what was going on there, the rituals that were going on there. If you study the history of rock and roll, it'll make you sick. You won't want anything to do with any of it. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ anyway and you study the history of it, you'll be like, it's unbelievable. You won't want anything to do with it. Because you'll see where it comes from. You'll see that it's satanic. It was used for satanic purposes. Moses would come down from the mountain. Joshua would say that there is war. And he said, no, that's their praise and worship service. Amen. He said, no, they're praising and worshiping their God. That's what they're doing. Come on. So when you see that in churches you've got Greg Locke who turned his church into a rap concert and all those things. I wonder if you look down and if God looks at it, well, what kind of worship is that to me? See, man wants to devise his own worship for God. But have you ever looked from Genesis to Deuteronomy? Have you ever read that ever in your life and looked at the worship that God prescribed? And look at what, do you think that God said, and don't touch it with your dirty fingers, because if you touch it, you're going to violate it. I wonder why he said that. Well, because man has his hands on everything, and worship to God is holy. It's not supposed to be tainted by you. You can't make your own worship up to God. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And he told them over and over again, after the pattern that I have showed thee in the mount, after the pattern that I have showed thee in the mount, after the pattern that I have showed thee in the mount, after the pattern I have showed thee in the mount. So you think that if God cared about every little, put badger skin here. I mean, if that was important to God, that you put badger skin somewhere, if that was really, and the lace down at the bottom, and when you do this, and all these interwoven things, and I can't even remember everything, but all the loops and everything, and have four loops here, or five loops here, and have this here, and have this veil that covers this, and do it. If that was all important to God, do you think he kind of cares about how you worship him? If that was so important, well, what's today then? What do we have today? Well, we have rock concerts, we have rap concerts. And they say, well, we're just worshiping, praising God. And I say, you are worshiping. Yeah, I agree. You're worshiping, praising a God. You're right. Do not the heathens the same? So that's going to make a lot of people mad. Well, let me tell you, they weren't real happy with Moses when he walked down the hill with those two tables of stone in his hand. I wonder if you'd think of Moses with such a godly manner or understand when you see what Moses is about to do to these people. You'll think I'm a nice guy then. Amen. Oh, by the way, don't ever forget that Jesus also took the cords and whipped the people out of the temple too. Don't forget that either. Don't forget the money changers were whipped out of the temple too. Don't forget that he called Herod a fox. Amen. Don't forget that. Don't forget that same Jesus is going to come back again. And he's not coming back to have a tea party. Amen? God's about to show them that he's a thrice holy God. Guess what? He's going to come back someday and show this world that he's a thrice holy God too. But you know what? We're to be that light that shows them now that he's a thrice holy God. So why would we mingle that hybrid worship with the world? And mix it in and say, hey, let's bring in all the heathenistic things. Let's bring in everything and try to... We've got to make the world want to be in church. Hey, go listen to the sermon again. The world hates Christ. It hates Christ. But guess what? It's supposed to. Because he's holy. Amen? Moses said, no, that's worship to their God. It's not worship to the God of the Bible. It's why do you think Joshua didn't recognize the sounds that were coming out? Sound like it's war down there. Have you ever listened to the average rock and roll music and all those concerts and everything? Have you ever listened to those? Have you ever heard those on a commercial? You ever heard those walking into a mall or walking into some place or a store or something like that? What does it sound like? Sounds like war. I'll be honest with you, it sounds like hell. That's what it sounds like. The screams, listen, if you've ever heard it and you understand it, you'll get the point that it sounds devilish. Because it is. That's where it came from. And it came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot. Now, what's wrong with Moses? He's just got to get with the program here. I don't understand what's wrong with him. Moses shouldn't be preaching against the praise and worship band. I mean, what's wrong with him? All they're doing is praising and worshiping and dancing and you know, doing all the things. Well, I don't understand what's wrong with them. I don't understand at all what would be wrong with Moses, why he'd be so mad. And he cast the tables out of his hands and he break them beneath the mount. What is the first thing he said, though? And it came to pass as soon as he came nigh into the camp that he saw the calf. Oh, man, I'm telling you, when he walked off that mountain and he was just with God and he had those two tables of the law, and it says as soon as he came nigh into the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. Man, was he mad. Oh, I'm telling you, he was mad. He was like dad catching something that he shouldn't have seen. What are you doing? I mean, when he came off that, he had God's wrath when he came off that mount. And I mean, he had just interceded for these people. And God said, oh, Moses, your people down there. Hey, my people, Moses, your people. Your people, Moses. And Moses said, no, God, they're your people. You brought them up out of the land of Egypt. No, they're your people, Moses. They're not my people. My people wouldn't do that. They're yours. So they come off that mountain. Moses comes off that mountain, he comes down there and he sees that. It's the first thing he sees in the camp. The Bible says, and it came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. Isn't it interesting that they note the dancing? That God puts that in there for you to see. And the dancing. Why? Because you will find that with pagan, false worship, you will see seductive and dirty dancing. Now, when you see rock and rap and nightclubs and everything else, what do you see? The same dirty, seductive dancing. No, goes with it. Not odd at all. It's just mainstream America now. And mainstream church. So churches have these nightclubs and they now have Christian nightclubs. They that be drunk in the night. It says here that his anger waxed hot and he cast the tables out of his hands and break them beneath the mount. So he walks down out of the mount. He sees the golden calf, and what does he do right at the bottom of the mount when he walks into the camp? And he smashes him right in front of him. Now, why did Moses do that? That was perhaps the best sermon illustration that anybody could ever do right there. Right or wrong, it was the best, wasn't it? He took those tables of stone that God had just written with his own finger, and he smashed them. Why? To show them that this is what you've done. You've broken God's law. Right in front of them. Smashed it right at the bottom of the mount, right in front of their faces, so they could see it. But Moses didn't stop there. He was mad. By the way, he was right to be mad. The first thing he does is to get their attention is to break the tables of the law. Then he turns his wrath on the false God to prove it's nothing at all. What's the first thing he did? Brother, he went right for that golden calf and he picked that thing up and he slammed it down on the ground. And he beat it. And he crushed it in front of their eyes, and he put it in the water, and he made them drink it. He ground it to powder, and he made them drink it. You want your God, you drink it. Drink ye all of it. You want to live that way? Drink it all. Well, there's a reason he made him drink it too, by the way. I'll get to that in a second. Here is that Moses that you want not what happened to him. Remember that? Remember what they said? We want not what happened to him. Well, Moses came off the mount to show you what happened to him and where he was. And that he's right here and he's right in your face. He had been with the Lord and the Lord had sent him back to reprove you. The Bible says earlier that they rose up to play. So what did Moses see? Well, he saw the Apis bull, or Nimrod worship to the fertility god, the worship of Egypt. So Moses saw them dancing and fornicating and sacrificing before this wick image of Nimrod. That's exactly what he saw. Moses caught them in the act as well, as they were in a demonic rage and a frenzy. Now, some of you don't know this, and I thank God that you don't, but if you've ever heard of anything like a rave or a party like that, where that music is constantly beating, and then you mix drugs with it, and you mix alcohol with it, and a frenzy gets worked up sometimes. I've seen guys literally. People just start fighting. Why do you think at nightclubs people, they're dancing, the music's banging, everything else, and they gotta have big bouncers like Lee Rufus come in and do stuff? Why do you think they need that? Because it sends people into a fit of rage. Why? It's demonic, that's why. Listen, young people, someday you're gonna grow up and you're gonna leave your parents' house. Well, I'm here to reveal something to you so you don't have to be curious about it. It's like hell. It's wicked as the devil. And it leads to absolute destruction. Ruin your life. Give you regret. Mar your conscience for the rest of your life. There. Secret exposed. No need to look into it. It'll ruin you. You can't play with a snake without getting bit. And sometimes you can't get the poison out. No matter what you do. The dancing. This is a note. There is no article, and as the subject had not been mentioned before, the use of the article, dances were a part of the religious ceremony in most ancient nations. Sometimes they were solemn and grave, like the choric dances of the ancient Dorians and probably that of David in front of the ark. Sometimes festive and joyous, yet not immodest, like the Pyrrhic and other dances at Sparta and the dancing of the Sali at Rome. But more often, and especially among the Oriental nations, they were a loose and lascivious character. In Egypt, the dancers appear to have been professional of a degraded class, and the dancing itself to have been always sensual and indecent. While in Syria, Asia Minor, and Babylon, dancing was a wild orgy, at once licentious and productive of species of frenzy. They were worked up into a frenzy. It's demonic. It's demonic, and it's part of rituals. Some of you have never heard of anything like this before, I'm not going to expose too much to you, but I want you to understand something, that witches and warlocks and sorcerers, all of that stuff is centered around music, drugs, and fornication. And it's whipped up by a demonic frenzy. And they use drugs to be able to reach another spiritual level. Part of the false worship. But hey, let's ignore that spirit world. It's not real. Till you come home and you find out that your children have been messing around with things they shouldn't have been. Because you've exposed them to television and movie programs that are wrong. And it gets in them and you can't get it out of them. Because you never preached against it or never taught against it. That's why, you know what you gotta do? All that magic and witchcraft, you gotta burn it down. You gotta have a good old-fashioned burning party. Take those CDs and those books and burn them. Why? Otherwise, they're idols. Hey, listen, if there's any movie in your house that you can't part with, it's time to burn it now. If there's any book that you can't part with in your house, it's time you burn it now, besides this Bible. If there's some fantasy or some fiction or science fiction or any of those things that you can't part with, you better burn it now. Buddy, you got an idol in your house. You've already set it up. That book is more important to you than anything then. That means that you're saying, well, you know, it's not that bad. Oh, really? Is it not a little one? That's what Lot said. Can I just go to this city? Is it not a little one? I'm telling you, folks, as much as I can tell you, stay away from those things. Stay away from that garbage that's out there, that magic and that just get it out of your system. Get it out of your life. It's not worth it. It's just, it's such borderline witchcraft stuff. It's just, and it's not borderline. It is witchcraft. And if anybody thinks C.S. Lewis is a Christian, please smack your head against the wall 5 times and read his book again. He's not a Christian. He's a stinking heretic that burned in hell. That's exactly what he was. He didn't believe the Bible. He didn't believe in the literalness of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things he didn't believe in. He didn't believe in the deity of Christ. He's not a Christian. He's not a man to read after. Some people have taken his theology. So when Moses came off the mount, that's what he saw. A bunch of dancing, a bunch of wicked music, a false idol, and fornication everywhere in front of him. After being with God, that's what he walked down the mountain and saw. Moses followed the commands of the Lord that he had just received, and he stamped the image to powder and break it down. The Lord just said to have no graven image. See, the law was fresh in Moses' mind. He had just got it, received it from God. And God said, no graven image. Returning to the camp, Moses brought the fornication of the people to a speedy termination. He had little difficulty in restoring the order. His countenance, blazing with anger and exhibiting every sign of grief, surprise, and horror, struck immediate dismay to the evildoers. No one apparently had the courage to resist him. The idolaters slunk in guilty haste to their tents or stood paralyzed with fear, rooted at the spot at which he had discovered them. He, on his part, took immediate steps for ridding the camp of the visible abomination. He took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strode it upon the waters and made the children of Israel drink of it. This reminds us of Jesus in the temple when he took the cords and he whipped the money changers out of the temple. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. This righteous indignation was for the glory of God. Moses' actions here in grinding the idol to powder and throwing it upon the water and making the children of Israel drink thereof are very solemn. The Christian is bidden to keep himself from idols, which we need scarcely add covers very much more than bowing down to graven images as an idol in anything, which displaces God in my heart. Anything which displaces God in my heart. It may be something which is quite harmless in itself, yet it absorbs me. It may be given the first place in my affections and thoughts, and it becomes an idol. It may be my business, a loved one, or my service for Christ. Anyone or anything which comes into competition with the Lord's ruling me in a practical way is an idol. And if I have set up an idol, then God in His faithfulness and love will break it down. Not if I sow to the flesh, then the flesh, I must reap corruption. If you and I have to choose between something that we think is questionable or something that we think that we just can't give up, we better give it up. Why? It's going to consume us. It will eventually find a way to weasel back into our lives and control us. There are things that I've battled from just my past that somebody said, well, that's not that big of a deal, it's not that bad or anything like that. Well, yeah, in compared to everything, yeah, it probably isn't. But it's things I know I have to stay away from because they can consume me. Very easily consume me, and then they're sinful. And they become sinful once you start looking at it, like, man, this is sinful, really. Because it's not yay or nay. Here's the problem with a lot of these things that we don't want, these idols that we have in our lives. One of the problems with those idols is this, is that there's such a hybrid mix of things. There's some good, there's some bad, and we want to hold on to it. Well, let me ask you a question. If it's not clear-cut honoring to God, why are we wanting to hold on to it so badly? Does that mean that our flesh is so driven by it or attracted to it that we're not walking in the Spirit, we're walking in the flesh? Is anything worth more to God than you? Anything? Is there something that you would not give up for God? Ask yourself that. Is there a book, a movie, entertainment that you wouldn't give up? If the answer is yes, then it's an idol. But the good news is you can repent of it. That's the good news. And you can burn it. And you can get rid of it. And you can move on with your life for God. It doesn't have to consume you. You don't have to drink all of it. You can burn it and be done with it. Note, understand about Moses. Some people may say, what about this man Moses? He was pretty angry when he got down there. He was breaking stuff and he was breaking up those idols. He broke the tables. And some people said, oh, that Moses sinned when he broke those tables of law. No, he didn't. He didn't sin when he broke those tables. Note, it is no breach of the law of meekness to show our displeasure at the wickedness of the wicked. That's what people say, oh, that must not be a meek person because they get mad at wicked things. No, those are angry and those that are angry and sin not, that are angry at sin only, not as against themselves, but as against God. Ephesus is famous for patience and yet cannot bear those that are evil. It comes to us to be cool in our own cause, but warm in God's. Moses showed himself very angry, both by breaking the tables and burning the calf, that he might, by these expressions of strong indignation, awaken the people to a sense of the greatness of the sin they had been guilty of, which they would have been ready to make light of had he not shown his resentment as one in the earnest for his conviction. To convince them that they had forfeited the loss in favor of God, he broke the tables right in front of them. Some people think that meekness is weakness. It's not. Moses was right to be angry. Take note that the man of God had been with God, and what made God angry made him angry. Drink, and it will be bitter. Drink ye all of it, and you will reap what you have sown, and die from the very poison that you partook in.